Welcome to Blether Together, brought to you by Farmstrong Scotland. I'm your host, Sarah Stephen, and together we'll be travelling across Scotland to chat to farmers and crofters to learn more about them, their businesses, challenges, and the positive steps they take to manage their well-being. Our thanks go to NFU Mutual Charitable Trust for supporting the podcast series and to our founding funders, Movember and the Royal Highland Agricultural Society of Scotland. Today I'm talking to Michael Goldie, a man who wears many hats. To say he's had a challenging beginning of the year is an understatement. Michael works for NFU Mutual and NFU Scotland. He describes himself as being a one-stop shop for all your insurance needs. But his real skill is quality control of the cakes and cups of teas he enjoys as he meets customers when he travels around the country. Michael Goldie, good morning and welcome to Blether Together. Thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning. You all right? Are you a bit cold this morning?
No, I was alluding to the snow that is coming down outside my window. No, it's not too bad. It's just caught us all by surprise, really. What's it like with you?
We don't have anything like that in sunny Ayrshire. The sun's splitting the skies. It's 10 degrees.
Oh, yeah. I know Ayrshire well. I'm saying nothing more. We do a rapid fire question, so I wonder if you're up for doing some rapid fire questions.
Depends how challenging they are.
They're not challenging, don't worry. But, you know, your first answer, don't think about it, no hesitation, just go for it. Are you up for it?
Yeah, it's like the Scott Mills breakfast show. I've got 1 second, otherwise the buzzer will go.
Oh, do you listen to Scott Mills? Well, there you go. You're in.
I get the pleasure of listening to it in my drive to Stranraer 2 or 3 days a week in the morning.
Okay, quick fire questions. What's your biggest fear?
Failure.
What's your proudest accomplishment?
Probably becoming a dad.
What's your go-to dance move when no one's watching?
I don't dance.
Oh, Michael. Never tempted. If you were a vegetable, which one would you be?
A tatty.
This is typically for an arable farmer. What's the most embarrassing thing you've ever worn in public?
Nothing.
Okay, right. Okay, Kirsty, I need to know more. Scale of 1 to 10, how good are you at keeping secrets?
Oh, pretty good. 9.
First celebrity crush.
Oh, Sam Fox.
Sam Fox. Now that's going back. Right. We'll leave it at that then. There's no more to be said.
No. I've stunned you to silence.
Michael, I understand that you've just got to the end of quite a busy period with lambing. I'm wondering if you just had your first full night's sleep in a long time.
No, the lambing was early Jan, and there's just been a kind of tail happening over the last sort of 2 or 3 weeks. But early Jan, we started on the 28th of December, so we had a 10-day spell, which was the more unpleasant end of the business.
You know, it's a bold time to lamb, you know, the end of the year. You know, everything, all the variables are up in the air.
Well, we've been doing it like that. My mum has been breeding Suffolks for 60 years, so I'm 52. And as long as I can remember, so basically from when I was born, we have lambed just after Christmas. So we're reasonably sort of attuned to everything that needs to happen and how to plan and prep for it and just get everything organised. We've been doing it this way for a long, long time. It's like second nature. It's almost like get Christmas over to get the exciting bit done.
You only get Boxing Day on the 27th and you're straight into it. I wonder, just going back to what you said there about you've always done it that way and your mum's done it. And I just wonder if there's ever any desire to do things differently.
There has been no desire to do things differently because we've been reasonably happy with the way it has been working. But what's happened to us over the lambing this time round, there have been a lot of difficult conversations and a lot of thinking about whether we're actually doing the right thing or not for us, for the sheep, to try and avoid getting disease again.
Could you expand on that? Sorry, Michael, just for our listeners, just expand on obviously the issues you've had this year.
Yeah, so basically we had a very bad dose of Schmallenberg in the sheep at lambing time and have lost somewhere in the region of 70 to 75% of our crop of lambs. We beat Pedigree Suffolks. I had planned to lamb in the region of 80 ewes and recipients that were carrying embryos with the hope of like 120 to 130 lambs on the ground by the end of lambing, and we're probably closer to 40. 45 at the minute. We've had significant losses.
And how much of an impact has that had on you, not just from a professional point of view, but personally?
It was very tough. The first few days were horrendous because one of the impacts of the disease is that the lambs come out alive but deformed. And so you have to, unfortunately, euthanize the lambs. And after a couple of days of significant numbers of jobs like that, it kind of wore down. And I eventually just phoned the vet and said, "You're going to have to come because I'm sick of putting sheep down." The whole point of lambing, it's like the best time of year normally. You get to see your crop, you get to see the ewes that you know. Producing the lambs that you think are going to make show winners or big money at the sales or bring you enjoyment, pleasure, a bit of revenue, and you're having to put them down. And just from a nature point of view, it's just horrendous just watching life expire in front of you.
How did you address that, I suppose, in terms of, what was going on inside your head? I mean, you're sort of like brush yourself off up every day, right? Let's look at today being a positive day and we'll just deal what we deal with, or did it take its toll?
My wife would say that I'm a problem solver and look like crash in, bash in. I've worked for the NFU Mutual and the NFU. Well, I started in 96, had a little sabbatical, came back to the NFU 3 years ago. I'm used to dealing with disaster situations in work. Bad claims happen, trying to look for solutions for customers. So you just applied. I applied some of those sort of principles to that and tried where possible to distance myself from it. And just the shed was the shed. My house was my house. My family are my family. You walk out the door, you get yourself steeled ready to get crack on, and then you walk back in the house and try and shut off.
So
My
quite a
wife would
strategic approach then.
not intentionally, but almost by necessity, because if you carried it into the house, then it's no good. And I also know a few people that have got other things going on in life where it's their family that have got problems. And that probably gave me strength, thinking, well, ultimately they're only sheep. And I know for the general public, the delineation between whether a pet is a member of the family or not, we're still farmers at the end of the day. And the most important thing is my family. As long as my mum and dad are healthy, my wife, my children, and my friends, that within reason, I'll cope.
A very good perspective to have. And I'm wondering, we are of similar ages, Michael. We're saying we're born the same year, but I'm just wondering if that's as a result of age and experience. And, a younger farmer potentially, could they have, a different way of dealing with it, or maybe not those tools in their armory to deal with it?
I think I'm really fortunate having the farm and having the NFU Mutual business side of things and having had the experience of seeing other people suffer catastrophic losses and how they cope and how they come through it and supporting people to go through that.
I mean, you're dealing with that on a day-to-day basis. So, I mean, you must see everything and anything.
Sadly, I've seen human death through work in terms of customers, serious injuries to individuals, livestock losses, storm losses, fire losses, losses of people's homes. I've seen it all. So I'm guessing in some respects it's maybe dulled my sort of a part of the mind to deal with those kind of things.
How do you get off the farm? What do you do to switch off?
I joked, and one of my I've got a colleague at work who jokes with me that my sheep are the reason that I can cope with some of the stresses at work, because I go home, look at my sheep, do stuff with the sheep of an evening or at weekends, go to shows, go to sales. And like that's been a bit of a dent because I don't have that, because there's not been as much to look forward to. We've had such catastrophic losses that I don't think we'll have many rams to take to the sales this year of any significance. I'm having to rethink how we do stuff to try and bring some disease resistance, and probably won't be going to any shows this year.
Well, I was
So,
going to ask, do you have a recovery plan?
yeah, this might sound bizarre, but within a day or 2 days of getting rid of the lambs, there was two big chunks that we had to get rid of. The vet came in, I think it was the 3rd of January, and he put 39 lambs down in one afternoon. I phoned a friend of mine. He came over. We just went from pen to pen, and the vet just said, "Look, in my opinion, that's not going to survive," and to try and clear the decks.
The word that springs to mind there when you're talking about it is resilience, and you having that resilience to be able to sort of like move
I
on
guess
and make a plan.
is probably how my brain works. I'm always looking for a solution and looking forward. Let's try and fight. So literally within a couple of days, I was thinking, right, let's try and get to the bottom of this. I was blood testing other sheep to see whether they had resistance, whether I might be having other problems. And I was looking forward as investigating how it happened. Was there anything I could do differently? Trying to think forward what I would do again. And probably some of my coping mechanism was understanding that I hadn't actually done anything wrong.
I mean, one of the purposes of this podcast is to share. And, we're so grateful for guests like yourself who do share because you're really opening up and, it's a difficult thing for a lot of farmers to do.
Yeah, and I, in my role as the NFU Group Secretary for the Wigtownshire branch, and I do a bit of work in Ayrshire as well, because Ayrshire is my home. I do come across lots of situations where I'll be the person that they're willing to talk to, but they won't talk to anyone else. So I do completely understand that the farmers are not the best people at opening up and discussing their problems, and they quite often store them up, and it takes a wee bit of digging sometimes and recognizing the signs where you need to dig harder and ask some more questions, or try and give them a bit of a steer and give them some solutions to some problems that they may have.
I mean, you're coming across to me as you say, your wife says you're a problem solver. You seem quite as have an optimistic outlook. You're resilient given what you've just been through. But I'm wondering how Michael Goldie himself, how do you decompress? I appreciate you spoke about your sheep, but if we take them out of the equation, how do you decompress?
I like a good sleep. That kind of quite often solves quite a few
Do you
problems.
sleep well?
Oh yeah, like a log. The minute my head hits the pillow, I'm gone. My poor wife, if I happen to be really tired, the snoring levels apparently are unbearable. So I sleep really well. I do wake early, but I combat that by just going to bed earlier.
Well,
I
what
play
time
a
are you
bit
in
of golf.
bed? Come on, give us it. You're early 50s. Go on, impress us. What time are you in bed at?
Gosh, if I'm not asleep by 9:30, it's a bad night.
Okay, we are where we really are. Yeah, this is rock star lifestyle, Michael.
Yeah, well, no, but what else do I do? I go to the gym 5 mornings a week before I go to the NFU Mutual. So I'm in the gym at 6 every morning. Obviously not during lambing and things like that, because I'm at home. I'm very fortunate. My mum and dad are still very active in the farm. We have a chap that's worked in the farm for 30-odd years. And so once the sheep are on their feet, they do the bedding and the feeding on a daily basis. And if there's bigger jobs that need done, I'll turn up late to the NFU for and arrive at 10:30 or something like that, having done those jobs, or I'll disappear off at lunchtime and come back and give them a help. So I go to the gym in the morning, which I find is really good for my physical and mental well-being. I think I couldn't put my finger on it, but it gives me energy. I enjoy going. I play a bit of golf occasionally.
Do you play well?
Yeah. My friends would probably say I'm not just as good as I maybe should be, but the sheep kind of come first and then golf sometimes comes second. But yeah, I'm a single figure handicapper.
That's okay. That sounds impressive to me. I know a little bit of a go about golf, but that's impressive.
So yeah,
So yeah, you just find ways, and it sounds like exercise is a big part of your life, which we've spoken about previously on the podcast about sort of just all those that cortisol being released and just people, moving themselves. Really helps with what's going on upstairs.
Yeah, I find you can be absolutely shattered walking into the gym at 6 in the morning. And by the time you've done your hour, if I do 4 classes in the morning, not each morning, but different
Wow.
classes every day. And by the time you walk out and you've had your shower and maybe a wee cup of coffee on the way to the office or driving down to Stranraer, and within reason, you're ready to take on the world again.
And how do you obviously a family, you've mentioned them and being very important part of your life as they should be. Are you able to switch off and are they involved in the farm and how do you balance that?
It's been a bit of a sad lambing, if I'm honest, because I've barred the children from coming into the shed because I didn't want them to see what was going on. And we've probably got out the way of them being involved this year, but I just didn't want them down there. It wasn't a pleasant place to be, and I did just felt that they didn't need to be seeing it. I've got a wee boy who's 7 and a stepdaughter who's 13. And the last few years, as they've got older, they've helped. But this year, I very quickly, within the first day of lambing, I said, it's not a place for the kids. There's just been, sadly, so much death. And I didn't feel that at that age, it was fair to expose them to it.
Would that have been one of the worst episodes in your farming career?
Yeah, no question. Like, thankfully, we've had no foot and mouth or anything like that. But we had a dose of enzootic abortion about 25 years ago, where a lot of lambs and ewes succumbed to that. And that brought back memories of, oh God, I remember my dad having to do that. And I remember my mum having to do that. And it was me that was having to do those jobs this time round. Even that was nothing like this because the volumes were nowhere near what we were having to deal with.
If you had to rate your jobs, which one would you put first? What would you put at the top of that list?
So I'm going to ask you to categorise it. Most important in terms of financial revenue, NFU Mutual.
That's fine. That's okay. That's you being honest.
And it comes first, ultimately. If I was lucky enough to have 1,000 acres and I didn't need to go to the NFU Mutual, you wouldn't see me for dust and I would stay in the farm. And I had a bit of a sabbatical. I worked for the NFU Mutual for 22 years in Winchester down south. And then for various reasons, I moved home and I had 3 years or 2.5 years back in the farm. And then at the NFU Mutual and I had a chance meeting and I came back. But if I could generate the same revenue or similar revenue, you wouldn't see me for dust. I'd stay in the farm.
Yeah, so farmer really would be top of the list if it could be.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope you don't mind me asking, because we talk a lot about succession and families and the complications that that can often lead to. And I'm just wondering, in terms of, you talked about your parents being very active and still very much involved. Is that all very clear cut in your mind, that succession? Is it all very clear for both parties?
When I took the decision to move back home to Scotland, having been in England for the thick end of 25 years, I had seen a number of family situations where succession and all that goes with it hadn't been dealt with properly. And one of the things that I insisted on dealing with as part of my move home was that we dealt with that to everyone's satisfaction. And my mum, my dad, my sister and myself sorted it, and we did it 6-7 years ago. That was because I had seen and witnessed a number of situations where there should have been conversations happening much sooner than there were. I know we're straying on to a slightly different subject at the minute with the current stuff that's going on around that and some of the disaster scenarios that I've come across personally, never mind what everyone else is seeing. The one good thing that's come out of it, I think, is everybody's talking about it now. It won't help some people. What the government have done to some of the family farms is unforgivable, in my opinion. That's my personal opinion, probably the same as the NFU's, but it has got people talking about it, which is fantastic, because the number of conversations I've had in the last few months with customers compared to their unwillingness to face up to it previously is really telling.
Well, that's good to know that there are more conversations being had, Michael. A challenging start for you for 2025. What does the rest of the year look like? What does Michael Goldie want to do in 2025? This is not New Year resolutions, because we're way beyond
that.
No,
well, you'll probably guess I've got a bit of a plan already. So I'm going to play more golf, because I'm not going to as many shows. I've got some different plans for the sheep, because I'm not exposing myself, my family, my mum and dad to what we went through. So there'll be less sheep lambing at Christmas time next year, significantly less. I'm going to go on a family holiday, at least one. I haven't been abroad for 8, nearly 9 years. Shouldn't say that out loud, should I?
You said what you said, what you were thinking there.
Yeah.
Gutsy. But that's great. You're going to go on the family holiday. So that's a step forward.
We've been away, but just within the UK. But we're actually going to, excuse my French, bugger off and actually get away from it. And play a bit more golf.
Well, I mean, I can't begin to agree with you playing more golf. It's not my sort of game, but I definitely think getting off the farm more and having more time with your family is a must. I don't know if you're anything like my husband, who always tells me when he can't go away and I'm too busy at this time of year and, oh, I don't know if I can go. But as soon as I book it, he goes, oh, yeah, no, I can come. I can come. Yeah, so it's just the...
Yeah, I'm so, I probably won't send my wife the link to this podcast. I'll just say that it was a private thing, because she'll be echoing what you've said, which is, oh, well, the ewes get AI'd at such and such a date, and the sheep sales are then, and the top sales are then, and oh, I've got this
There's
to
always an
do.
excuse, Kirsty. Book it and he will come. Right, Michael, I would say it's been lovely to hear your story and thank you very much for sharing. And you seem to have a semi-positive outlook on the rest of the year, which is fantastic despite what's happened. And I hope that you do recover, the farm recovers, and you know, you feel things go better for you in the next 12, 18 months.
They'll need to, otherwise they'll be going down the road.
That's a lovely way to round off the podcast, a nice positive out there. All right, Michael, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much. On that note, we will let you get on with your day.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's blether and it has provided some inspiration for your own well-being. One small step can make a big impact. Find something that works for you. To read our latest stories and news, download our resources and tools, or connect with Farmstrong Scotland, visit our website, allthews.farmstrongscotland.org.uk, or follow us on social media.